A little bit early yet, but just to get ready for Psalm 132, which is all about God establishing his holy temple, basically in Zion or in Jerusalem. So we'll sing the holy city here.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, me followed the voice of angels from heaven as were changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang.
The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
Father, we thank you we can gather here today and There's nothing really like music. It kind of moves us, Lord, in a way, and to move us from the dark and distracting world to quietness with you and focusing on you. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we open your word once again, and as we can project indeed that holy city, as we can project you establishing your reign here on earth, Lord, and ruling for 1,000 years, sitting on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem in the new temple. And Father, it's all coming. And so, Lord, help us to understand the psalmist a little bit in this psalm as the Spirit is speaking to us and how it relates to us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we had one of the shortest ascent psalms, 3 verses, and the next 2 weeks we will have 2 more psalms of 3 verses. But today we have one of the longer, if not the longest, of the ascent psalms, and it is a whole Bible study in itself, and we will not try to do that today in about 7 minutes. But I do urge you, if you want to really get more out of this psalm, like everything else, spend some time in the Word with the Lord. And you can look at these notes too. There's quite a bit in these notes. I pull them from different places, Spurgeon and Pastor Chuck and different ones, and some scripture. But it's all good. It's just all good because it's all about the eternal dwelling place of God in Zion. So think what that means. Eternal dwelling place of God. Now, for you and I, we also have a promise in John 14:23, I think it's a verse, where Jesus said, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will love you and my Father will love you, and we will come and make our home in you. So it's the same thing in a way. He's got his eternal dwelling place here on earth and will be set up in the kingdom after the great tribulation. But we're already there because of what he's done for us. And as you go through this and looking at the requests of the psalmist here, and I don't think this is David actually writing this one because it's about David in the third person. Maybe it is, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But how are we preparing our hearts? What do we need to get ready for him to move into our hearts forever? Is he there now? Is there anything in there that's crowding him out? Is there anything in there that's preventing him from making his abode, which he has promised to make, in your temple, in your heart? And so as we look at this, let us keep that in mind as well. I'll read it through and then hit a few high points. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Now about the Ark of the Covenant. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. And here's continuing the Lord answering the prayers here that were requested in the first verses. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon his crown shall flourish. A beautiful psalm. So it begins with asking Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. And I think another translation there could be all his anxious cares, his anxious cares. Are you anxious for the Lord to have a dwelling place in your heart? Even as we see David being referred to here, he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. So question, how willing am I to hold up comfort over doing and being what the Lord wants me to do and to be? Am I so into comfort that I don't want to be disturbed? So into comfort I don't want to get out of bed, so to speak? So into comfort I don't want to wake up? Well, we read here, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up in the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, that's Jacob's cry for the temple, right? But think of us as the Holy Spirit in us. We are his temple. We are a temple. And are we willing to go all ends to find a place for the Lord in the dwelling place of our heart? Is that paramount for us? Is that paramount for me, really? A dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. So how much of your heart is permanently open to him for his eternal dwelling in you? Now he's going to talk about probably bringing the ark into Jerusalem from Kirjath-Jearim. Kirjath-Jearim is in Ephrathah area, Bethlehem area. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods, in Obed-Edom's house, basically. And let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your dwelling place, you and the ark of your strength. So we see here that David tried the first time in his own way, and he did it the way the Philistines. They put the ark on a cart and had oxen pull it back into the camp of Israel because it was causing so much turmoil in the Philistine camp. But he didn't do it the right way. And so he had probably 50 or 60,000 people showing up. They had every kind of band you could imagine, I'm sure, and singing group. And they had the thing all prepared. And for the first time in the history, in carrying the ark, they stumbled. And the oxen stumbled, and the cart started to tip. And so, was it Ahio or the other guy, I can't remember, put his hand out on the ark to steady it, and the Lord killed him right there on the spot. Talk about water on a parade. And David was upset, really bad. Here's this great, great plan. And I see the church doing this too. I see the church having such great plans of man, so intent on our program or that program, and it stumbles. They were told very clearly the ark was to be carried. It had staves on it, holes for the staves, and it was to be carried by the priests, not by a cart, not by a program, but really carried. He had time to think about it again, and instead of going back to all the leaders of the country, which he had the first time, he went back to the Lord and remembered the instruction of the priest needing to carry it, and went back and did it the right way. So what a lesson that is for us too. We get so caught up in the latest and greatest process or program, or this is what the big boys are doing, this is what we should do and all. No, we need to go to the Lord, right? Isn't that great? I think it's great. So he says, "Arise, O Lord, to your resting place." Come in here, Lord. "You and the ark of your strength, the mercy seat, and all that's there. And let your priests be clothed with righteousness." Now, we're told in the Bible, especially like 1 Peter chapter 2, we are members of the royal priesthood. We are his priests, right? So this is really, it says, "Let your priests..." Now here in this context, I think it's the Levites, but in our context, it's us. "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and your saints..." We're certainly saints. If you don't like the word that you're a priest, then go with saints. It means pretty much the same thing. "But let your saints shout for joy." So ask yourself this question. Is this saint, pointing to me, shouting for joy? Does the world see joy in us? I made a mistake again this morning. I looked at the news. But it didn't take long. Same old stuff. But it's amazing, isn't it? You just take anything you want to take. That's basically, the Bible says, an abomination to God. And for a while, man or a country or a culture will try to rationalize the way to get around that abomination of God, and they start to allow it. Then it goes from there to eventually legalizing it. And then it goes from there to not only preferring that as the only way, but totally rejecting God's way. Think of evolution as an example. Think of homosexuality. Think of transgenderism or any of those things. Think of the campuses we have right now around the United States. Now, I'm not so surprised to see the organizers behind those. I'm not so surprised to see all of the weapons of destruction and all showing up at all of these protest areas. That doesn't surprise me so much. What surprises me is that the protesters are being embraced by so many people. But that's what's out there. And we have this country here basically is kind of the last hope for some degree of law and order. And you see how the lawlessness is so more and more out of control. And then it's ever been, isn't it? And I think it's going to get worse. Unless the church gets alive and wakes up and gets to pray as it should. And figure if we've got 8% of the world Christian, which I don't know, that sounds like a pretty low number, but that would be 640 million Christians. What do you think 640 million Christians really praying could do? I think quite a bit. Maybe one person doing praying would be quite a bit. But at any rate, let your saints shout for joy. And then for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Of course, we're talking about the Messiah there who is going to come from David's lineage. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. So here is an unconditional covenant with David that the Messiah is going to come from his family. That's unconditional. Now, he's going to go to the conditional covenant here in verse 12. Well, I didn't finish verse 11. The Lord has sworn his truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. That's unconditional. That's going to happen. Now, the conditional covenant, if your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. And we saw that didn't happen. We thought with Zedekiah that was the end of that reign. However, the Messiah is come, and he is forever, and he is of the seed of David. I love it. You remember on the triumphal entry, they welcomed him as the seed of David. So he is the seed of David. He is the anointed one here that we're talking about. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. So whatever you think about Zion, whatever you think that means, I think of Jerusalem when I think of that, because Zion to me is Israel. Zion is the Holy Land. Zion is Jerusalem, centralized in Jerusalem. And when we see now even worse than lawlessness in this nation, we see the reason for this is the hatred of Israel. Yes. And the hatred of Christians. So it's not even for a good cause. I mean, it's all right. I mean, in the middle of the road cause, which is wrong, is bad enough, but a cause of coming against God, that's at the top of the list. And so that's where we are in this nation. So we all know that. The Lord has chosen Zion, his dwelling place. This is my, now we're in first person, Jehovah speaking. This is my resting place for how long?
Forever.
Forever. Ooh. Any questions anybody has? What does that mean? This is my, Zion is my resting place forever? Wake up, world, wake up. Wake up, church. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Now we got seven I wills here. So these are the answers to all of these preliminary comments and requests here. These are the answers, Lord answering them all positively. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. There's a great verse in Ezekiel there that says Zadok. Zadok is going to be the element of the priesthood that's going to serve him at his throne, basically, forever. We're going to be there. We're going to be priests. But Zadok's got a special provision there, it seems to me. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her shouts, saints shall shout aloud for joy. That's us for sure. Shouting aloud for joy. What a place. What a time. There I will make the authority of David, or the horn of David, grow. The horn of David, of course, is the Messiah, is the authority of Jesus Christ. And he will rule with what? A rod of iron. That's a strong ruler, isn't it? That'll be the 1,000-year millennial reign, will change things around quite a bit. Like, no more sin, no more evil will go unchallenged. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed, for the Messiah. Preparing a light for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame. Have you noticed how shame has evaporated from our culture? Can you think of anything that this culture really has shame in? You can't find a criminal these days because they're all victims of something, right? And anytime anybody kills anybody right away, oh, they've got a mental disease. That's the new excuse, right? A mental disease. Well, as many killings as we have, I don't think we got that many mental diseases. And even if you have a mental disease, that doesn't mean you're going to do evil, does it? Maybe you can't think too clearly, but that doesn't mean you're going to do evil, necessarily. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but, I like it, but upon himself his crown shall flourish.
Yes.
And you say amen to that. But upon himself his crown shall flourish. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you for how it speaks to us in so many different ways, as your word always does. Lord, help us to redeem these few minutes together. It's so good to come each week and have 30, 40 minutes to pray together and just be together and just sense your presence together and just sense the soothing power of your Spirit on each of us. And yet at the same time, the other side of that is such a convicting and stimulating presence as well to finish well. Lord, we do want to finish well. We don't have much more time. And Lord, we have this glorious opportunity of making eternal investments right now in others' eternal security by showing them who you are and your love for them by our lives. And so, Lord, help us to do that. So lead us now in these moments of prayer to pray as you would have us to pray, Lord, not anything else other than your Spirit prompting us and leading us, Lord. Let us pray. Father, I do want to repeat the prayers for our college campuses and for the thousands of young people who have no idea what they're even protesting against. And Lord, we have so lowered our teaching and our presenting truth, and you know all of that, so we cry out to you for your help. We pray for this nation, Lord, as such a gifted, blessed nation, to be a light to the world. And very few years ago, we were the leading lender in the world. Now we're the leading debtor in the world. We've fallen so far. So we pray for this nation, Lord. Our hope is not in this nation, but we would hope it would be usable by you in these last days in some way. We know judgment is coming and will come. And Lord, again, as already prayed, mentioned the church. Lord, we pray for the believers, Lord. We pray for the church to stand up. We pray for your shepherds to stand up. We pray for the awareness of where we are in these end times, Lord, and the urgency of being ready. And so, Lord, may all the programs be ditched that are anything other than that. All of the wokeish stuff in too many churches, Lord, just totally ineffective going down that path. That's not of you. So purity, Lord, center of your will, center of your word, help us, Lord. Father, I want to lift up Calvary Chapel Living Word, where we are right now, and recognizing that in a couple of more weeks, the property will be turned over to the new owner. And so, Lord, I know you will provide meeting areas for us. We're just a small little group and can meet even in a home or wherever, a restaurant or wherever. But, Lord, for the fellowship to have anything other than a Sunday morning service, which the space is all they've got right now lined up for emergency, so to speak. And you know all of that. I just pray that this fellowship would just really leap forward in fruitfulness and growth, Lord, through this stirring up and recognizing that there's a big change when you have to move, and nobody likes to move, but yet it is, whether like it or not, it's moving time. And so I just pray for your provision. I know you will take care of your people. I know you will take care of this fellowship at your timing, and I just pray that we would be crying out for your help and continuing to seek you for your will to be done. So help us, Lord. Amen. One more prayer here to the Lord regarding our sanctuary. Let's just close with this song.
The Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy and tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living, a sanctuary.
Father, thank you for meeting us here again this morning. And Lord, help us to continue on in this heart with prayer and praise and worship throughout this whole day, Lord.
Yeah.
And give us ears to hear opportunities that you have for us just to spend each hour as you would have us to spend it. In Jesus' name, amen.